me, because Mimi's not feeling well, so I did the bulletin. So when the sermon message was wrong, I can't go, well, you know, the wife. No, it's not the wife. It's because the wife wasn't ready. So we're going to be talking about starting over, and maybe you need a new start in your life. The beautiful thing is, as a Christian, you get a new start when you receive Christ, and you get a new start many times every day if you want it. So we're going to stand together and honor our Lord as we read John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. How can someone be born when they're old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we've seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the Son, or the one who came down from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Father, we can't thank you enough for eternal life because of our simple faith in Jesus Christ. Father, open hearts today. Many here already know the gospel. They've already believed it. But Lord, we need to be rejoicing in what we've received. There may be some here, Lord, that still have not understood or received Christ as their personal Savior. Father, for them especially, we pray today that they'll understand and believe and then take that last step that so many fall short of. Receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Father, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get the feeling that I'd like to start over. I make so many mistakes in life, and those mistakes often are so long-lived. The mistakes that we make in our marriage sometimes can last throughout the whole marriage, and we'd like to just start over sometimes. A lot of men and women look back over their career and say, if only I had done this earlier, I could be way more advanced than I am. Unfortunately, in life, most of the time, we don't get that new start. We can be forgiven, we can regroup and start afresh, but we can't undo what's been done. So probably many of us look at our lives and say, Lord, is it possible to get a new start with you? And I praise the Lord that I can answer 100%, yes, it's always possible for us to get a brand new start with our Lord. So I want to listen in on a conversation today that Jesus had with a very religious man. Many of us think if we're religious, we're all set. I got to tell you, religion's not going to get it done. Religion will rob you of relationship. We have to come to the time when we realize no matter if I've been baptized, no matter if I've joined the church, no matter if I've been faithful all these years, It's not going to get the job done. We need a brand new start from God. So I want to talk just a little bit about this man, Nicodemus. He was what you would call a high roller. He was extremely wealthy, he was extremely talented, and he was extremely religious. I want to talk about him as a high roller. History tells us, now not the Bible, but history tells us, Nicodemus was the third richest man in all Israel. He had great influence. He had great riches. In fact, they tell us from the history books that Nicodemus is the man who devised the water plumbing system for the whole city of Jerusalem. He was not only religious, he was also a very practical man, and he made huge amounts of money. Nicodemus was a high-profile man. If they had TV back then, he would have been on about as much as our new president coming in is on. Every time I turn on TV, I see something about Donald Trump. And I'm glad we do, but I'm just saying, Nicodemus was high profile. If there were newspapers, he would have been in the paper at least once a week. So he was noticed. He was also a high leader in the synagogue. He was the ruling council of all Israel. And on Sabbath mornings, you would have seen him gather his family together to make a public display that he kept the Sabbath. He went to synagogue. The man Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus one night, and the reason he came at night is because the Jerusalem council had already decided if anybody confesses Jesus Christ as Lord, they're kicked out of the synagogue, which meant in Jewish faith, you couldn't be saved. And so Nicodemus came to Jesus by night because he wasn't a stupid man. He saw what Jesus was doing. He looked and examined the miracles and he said, these are real. This is not a fake show. This is real. And he realized that God had sent him. And so he went to Jesus to find out what he had to do to gain eternal life. And Jesus told him he had to be born again. In John chapter 3, verse 3, talking to a very religious man, Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Folks, born again is a spiritual thing. It's not something you're going to figure out. I still don't understand exactly how all this works. It's beyond my comprehension that I can be born into God's family. I can have all my sins forgiven. I can start anew with God. And it's a remarkable thing. The word born again is familiar in our country still today. A third of the people in our nation say they've had a born again experience. The only problem is that a lot of the people that think they've been born again think that being born again means I changed the way I used to live. I used to be an alcoholic and I quit drinking. And we'd also, well, praise the Lord, I'm glad you quit drinking. I used to be into pornography, but I'm not into pornography anymore. I've been born again. No, you probably haven't. Because it isn't just what you stop. It's what God starts in your heart. You see, being born again is an internal thing. Stopping drinking is an external thing. I decided I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to look at pornography anymore. I'm going to do it. That's an external thing. It's something that I do. Being born again is an internal thing. It's something that God does. You don't do it. You simply believe the gospel, and God does it on the inside. But it will show up on the outside. So the question is, if Jesus said you'll never even see the kingdom of heaven, can you imagine living your life 70, 80, maybe 90 years, maybe a few 100, dying and never seeing heaven? When the Bible describes heaven to me, boy, it sounds beautiful. Colors are going to be radiant. Everything's going to be perfect. I want to see it. I don't know about you. But to totally miss it where you'll never see it, it's going to be there, but you're not going to be a part of it. In order to be born again, Jesus said there's something that has to happen. In John 3:7, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." In this little section of scripture we're studying this today, John 3 verses 1 through 15, that word born again is used about 6 times. Take note of it if you get a chance to look it up in your Bibles, but it's extremely important. Jesus said, "Don't be surprised at me saying you must be born again." In the Jewish line of thinking, the law under Moses, there was no discussion of being born again. Tim mentioned in Sunday school today, we're studying the book of Galatians, and he said it had to be quite a transition from the time of Jesus Christ till the time the book of Galatians is written. These people have for centuries been keeping the law, thinking they were okay with God because they kept the law. And now suddenly it's all by grace. It's all through faith. That would be a huge transition in life. Our Lord wants us to know that we have to be born again. Nicodemus, I mentioned, was extremely wealthy. But you could be sitting here, as far as I know, nobody here does, but you could be sitting here with a 6 or 7 figure salary, hundreds of $1,000s a year, or $1 million a year, and you still won't make heaven. You could be sitting here with the biggest house and the biggest property of anybody among us. You could have property so big you need to have one of those four-wheel riders just to get around the place. But it won't get you into heaven. You could be the greatest sports star that ever lived and everybody praising you. You could be the most popular singer, the most beautiful woman, the handsomest man, and it won't get you into heaven. You could be the most intelligent person. I just went to my nephew's funeral. He passed away a week or so ago, 33 years old, not nephew, it'd be grandnephew, 33 years old, and they talked about his life, what a smart guy he was, and apparently he was very brilliant. I didn't know him very well, but apparently he was an electrical engineer with a master's degree, really was smart, went to Poland and all over the world, but they never got around to saying if he was ever born again. Folks, being born again is the key to this whole thing. It doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how much you have. It doesn't matter how religious you are. If you're not born again into God's family, Jesus said, you'll never see the kingdom of God. I heard about a young man who had just been saved, and he was all fired up telling other people about the Lord. And he went out one day walking and looking and praying, "Lord, lead me to somebody to lead the faith to Christ today." And the young man sat down next to a man sitting on a park bench. The man looked very forlorn. And the young man said, "Sir, have you been born again?" And the older man pointed across the road and he said, "You see that church right there? I've been the pastor of that church for 40 years. And the young man said, "Oh, sir, don't let that stand in your way. Anybody can be born again." And a lot of pastors that teach in a lot of churches need to be born again. They've never been born again. Why did Jesus say we have to be born again? In Romans chapter 3, verse 22, he shows us very clearly why. This righteousness, the righteousness of God, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You see, we're all dead in sins and transgressions. Everybody in this room, you have sinned. So either you're alive in Christ, or your state today is you're dead in your sin. There's no in between. There's no "I'm trying to do better." It won't do you any good. There's no "I go to church regularly." That won't do you any good. "I was baptized last week." If you don't have faith in Christ, your baptism is nothing. You just got wet. That's all it is. Nothing's changed on the inside, and it's not going to change on the outside until it changes on the inside. So our Lord wants us to know that we are all in the same boat. All the teachers, all the different people of life you've ever known are either born again and on their way to heaven, or they're lost in their sin and need to be born again. Jesus mentioned being born again because heaven is a prepared place, prepared for prepared people. If you got to heaven and were never born again, you wouldn't be able to enjoy it anyhow. It's for people that have now been born into God's family. God is your heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit now lives in you along with Christ. So the question is, have you been born again? I want to talk to you a little bit about being born again, because the very first question Nicodemus had was how. And he asked how a couple different times. He said in John 3:4, how can someone be born when they're old? Nicodemus is not a teenager anymore. Nicodemus is probably 60, 70 years old. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born, because all Nicodemus knows about is physical birth. He doesn't know about spiritual birth. He has never, in all of his religious life, ever heard of being born again. And I have witnessed, and I know I and Dave both have witnessed to people that say, born again, what is that? They've been in church all their life, and they've never heard about being born again. If you're not born again, Jesus said you'll never see the kingdom of heaven. But a lot of churches never preach about being born again. Nicodemus knows he's in the presence of a mystery. Do you know when you speak of spiritual things, it's a mystery. We have to take God at his word. I can't figure out eternal life. I can't figure out how I'm going to get to heaven. That's all spiritual stuff. And I simply trust the Lord. There are a lot of things that are like that. I don't understand electricity. My grandnephew that just passed away majored a bachelor's degree, or not bachelor's, master's, in electrical engineering. He could talk to people and express all those words like doctors use, you know, it's just this time it's an electrician with a doctor's degree or a master's. He can use words I have no idea. I don't know how I could used to call my folks when they lived in Florida. I don't know how that call, within about 4 seconds, the phone's ringing in Florida. How in the world does that electric go, all those wires, all those transformers, and in about 8 seconds, it's ringing? Beyond me. But I use the phone all the time. I like milk, and I like butter. But I don't understand how a brown cow can eat green grass and make white milk, yellow butter. I don't understand that. But I eat it all the time, and I drink it all the time. Folks, just because we don't understand things doesn't mean it's not true. In John 3:5, Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. And notice the Spirit is capitalized. That means the Spirit of God. Flesh gives birth to flesh. When your mother bore you, you were born a physical being. But you were not born a spiritual being. Your spirit was dead. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. Folks, Nicodemus is amazed that Jesus is telling him, a very religious man, a leader of synagogue worship, that he had to be born again. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, I just mentioned before I read this, golf balls are not born, are they? They're manufactured. Babies are born. We have to keep in mind, babies, when they're conceived, have physical life. Oftentimes, it's a little older, 7, 8, 10, 50, 70 years old, when we get spiritual life. Spiritual life comes from the Spirit of God, and as soon as you receive Christ, you get the very life of God in you. In 1 John 5:11, it says, this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. But the question is, do you know that? Are you 100% assured in your own heart that because you placed your faith in what Jesus Christ did on that cross for you, you have eternal life? It's so important to understand this. Birth is something that happens only one time. When a census taker would come to your house, they wouldn't say, "Tell me all the different dates you were born." We're born one time, aren't we? The same thing is true of our spiritual life. There has to have been a time in your life when you placed your total faith in what Christ has done and said, "There's nothing I can do beyond that." That's it. So I just want you to think, as we're preaching on here, do you know a date or a time? And you may not know. For me, it was February 19th, 1972. You may not remember the exact date. Pastor Williams used to say it was in the fall of the year, but I can't tell you for sure which year. But he was born again. It doesn't matter that you remember the exact date, the exact time, but you know that there was an exact date and there was an exact time, because the thief on the cross was lost. Nicodemus was lost. The thief on the cross confessed Jesus as Lord, and he was born again. Nicodemus later on also put his faith in Christ, and he was born again. So being born again erases your past. We talked about a brand new start. When you're born again, you have a brand new start. When a baby is conceived, it doesn't have a past. It simply has a future. And when you're born again through faith in Christ, your past is forgotten. God says he's put it in the deepest part of the earth, as far as the east is from the west. That's gone. Now you get a brand new start, and away you go. Jesus said it can happen to you just like birth and being born. You can be born into God's family. When birth occurs, someone has to suffer. I hope you remember your mother, and that you praise the Lord that she was willing to suffer for you to be born. Every woman goes through the valley of the shadow of death at conception. A very difficult process. Jesus Christ had to suffer on the cross 2,000 years ago for your salvation. Somebody has to suffer to give life. Verse 8, in John chapter 3, verse 8, Jesus compared spiritual birth to the wind. He said, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." So the birth that we have is similar to the wind. I can't see the wind, but I can see the effects of the wind, especially if it's a tornado or a hurricane. Believe me, you're going to see the effects. Big semis are blown right in the air. Amazing thing. But you don't know where that wind came from, and you don't know where it's going next. When you see the hurricane path that is going to come, you know they make that path real wide. Do you know why they make it so wide? Because they don't know where it's going either. They can tell you approximate, but they can't tell you. Being again, born again, can take all the hate out of your heart and restore it with the love of Christ. Being born again can take away all your sin, and it's never going to be recorded again. Being born again means the law will never be used against you again. Being born again can take the sin out of your heart and restore the love of Christ to you like you've never known before. So it's extremely important we understand this idea of being born again. And again, in John 3:9, Nicodemus asked the same question. "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. He knows that Jesus is a messenger from God. He knows the miracles are real, but he can't get his head wrapped around this thing of being born again. He's wanting to know, how can this happen to me? Folks, that's exciting to me, because everybody I know needs to be born again if they aren't already. How can it happen to you? In John 3:13, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. So what Jesus is saying is, in order for you to be saved and me to be saved, there's something that only God can do. Only God can shed his blood to wash away your sin. Jesus has done his part. I hope you understand this. 2,000 years ago, the only man that ever lived a perfect life went to Golgotha. He was put on a cross. He was lifted up and fell into that hole, and his blood went out of his body. He died for you. On that cross, he bore all your sin and all my sin and all the sin of mankind to pay for our sin. He did his part, but it's not done yet. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. And that's good news. It's done. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Why did Jesus bear your sin and mine on that cross? Why did he die and shed his blood? So that you and I might be get the very righteousness of God imputed to us. I'm nowhere near as righteous as God. I've been a Christian 55 years now, but I still sin. I don't want to, but I do, because I have a fleshly nature yet. Jesus Christ died on that cross, paid for all my sin, all I had ever done, all I'm ever going to do, washed it white as snow. I'm as righteous in God's sight today as Jesus Christ was. Why? Because of simple faith. It's nothing I do. I'm not right with God because I'm a pastor. I'm not right with God because I got baptized after I believed. I'm not right with God because I've been in church these last 54 years. I'm right with God because I believe what Jesus Christ has done. He did his part. But now there's a part you have to do. And this is where so many fail. All I have to do is believe it, right? No. There's something beyond just simple belief. In John 3, verse 15, it says, everyone who believes may have eternal life. You can believe something's true, but never put your faith in it. The Bible says Satan and the demons believe that there is a God, and they tremble. You can have all the belief you want, but there has to be a reception. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons and daughters of God. There has to be a reception. I was thinking the other day about the great baseball player of another era, Ty Cobb. Some of you that are baseball fans will remember the name. Ty Cobb played in 3,033 baseball games. He had a lifetime batting average of .367, if you can imagine that. That's way up there in batting averages. So Ty Cobb came down to the end of his life. He didn't know Christ as his Lord and Savior, and a pastor came to his house knowing that Ty Cobb was going to be gone pretty quick. He presented the simple gospel to him, and Ty Cobb said to that pastor, "Preacher, are you telling me that a deathbed repentance can do away with a whole lifetime of sin?" The preacher said, "No. I'm telling you that faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ can wash away all your sins." Ty Cobb received Christ as his Savior that day, but as the pastor was preparing to leave, Ty Cobb shouted out to him. He said, "Pastor, I want you to tell everybody that I'm sorry that I received Christ in the bottom of the 9th inning. I should have done it in the top of the 1st. Folks, there has to be a time in your life. It can be right at the end, but unfortunately for you and I, we don't know when the end is. You could leave this church today, get in your car, go out to M13, start heading down towards Mount Rose, and be hit and killed. We don't know. So I believe it, but I'm not quite ready to receive it. I talked to a man, this is years ago, at Plant 2 Saginaw Steering Gear. He was unsaved. He was living with a gal at the time. And I gave him the gospel. He said, I really do believe that, but I can't receive it yet. And I said, why can't you receive it? He said, well, I'm living with this gal, and I really care about her. I don't want to tell her she can't live with me anymore. After we get married, we got a plan for another year. After we get married, I'll get saved. And I said, why don't you just marry her now? And he did. And he got saved. Folks, that sin won't keep you out of heaven. Not receiving Christ will keep you out of heaven. Even after you get saved, you're still going to sin. Hopefully you're going to sin less, but you're going to sin. Don't wait. Don't put it off a day. Don't put it off a minute. I told Mimi the day that Pastor Williams came to my house, gave us the gospel. It was later in the evening. I said, hon, I'm going to work tomorrow. I'm going to examine John's gospel like he told me to. He said, ask yourself three questions. Who was Jesus? What did he come to do? What do I have to do in response to it? All three of those questions are answered in the first three chapters of the Gospel of John. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Who is he? In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him, nothing was made. Jesus Christ is my Creator God, second person of the Godhead. What did he come to do? He came to save sinners. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're going to get back to that in a minute. I'll be there. But what I want you to understand, it's not enough just to believe that Jesus was God. It's not enough just to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sin. It's not enough even to believe that he rose from the dead. There must be a reception. John 1:12, the third thing. What do I have to do to get eternal life? John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons and daughters of God, even to them that believe upon his name. What's his name? Jehovah. Jehovah saves. Jesus, the name Jesus means Jehovah. That's what it means. That's what his name means. I got to thinking a while ago about heartbeats. Dave mentioned his heart was slowed down to like 40 plus beats a minute. Most people, I think it's, what is it, 60 or 70 beats a minute is average, I guess. So in 50 years, if you live 50 years and your heart beats 50 times a minute for 50 years, how many heartbeats is that? You know, you're talking 13 billion heartbeats. But do you know you're only one heartbeat away from eternity? One of these days, your heart is beating and beating and beating, and so is mine. But there's going to be that last beat. I don't know if it's coming at 80. It's not going to come at 50 for me. My grandnephew was 33. He didn't know. But it might be 80. It might be 90. But sooner or later, this old heart's going to quit. What then? If you've been born again, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Folks, it's so exciting to me that I know when this life is over, I am going to be with my Lord. I'm going to be in heaven forever because I have been born into God's family. The question for you is, have you been born again? If not, it really is this simple. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. He won't be shocked when you say it. I believe with all my heart, Christ Jesus died to pay for my sin. And today, Lord, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Look with me at John 3:16 again. For God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Folks, it's your turn. If you haven't been born again, I can't encourage you strongly enough. As soon as you believe that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, who died to pay for your sin, you need to receive that. You need to accept the gift. We just went through Christmas. Most everybody here probably got some presents. But you had to open them. You had to receive them. That present could sit under the tree for the next 20 years. And if you don't open it, it will do you absolutely no good. And if you don't open God's present of salvation, offered through simple faith in Christ, you can know all the facts, but it won't do you any good. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become sons and daughters of God. Father, when we talk about born again, we know it's a work that only you can do in our hearts. Jesus said, except the Father draws him, no one can come to me. But Lord, I believe with all my heart there are those that you're drawing that have not yet come. Father, I pray today for anyone in this church, today might be the day of salvation, that they might know that they're your son or your daughter, that they might have complete confidence based upon your word that they have eternal life. Father, we'll give you the praise now in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We're going to sing.